Let's go to the book of Acts in chapter 17, where we are in the scriptures, Acts chapter 17. And we want to enjoy one of the most blessed scriptures in the whole Bible, in my opinion. It's right here in Acts 17. I'll give you a little history background to catch us up. Remember last week we're in Acts 16. And we had the Apostle Paul in Philippi. He was called over to Europe to preach the gospel to a city called Philippi, which is in northern Greece. So if we just do this and say this is northern Greece, Athens is down here in southern Greece in the province of Achaia. Up here is Macedonia. And Paul came across the Aegean Sea with Timothy, Silas, and Luke. And they came over. From the Macedonian vision, the Macedonian man calling him, saying, come and help us, come and help us. And so they went to Philippi, and they had good blessing there, but they were persecuted. And remember what Jesus said, when you're persecuted in one city, you go on to the next. So they went on to Thessalonica. Now, if you do Philippi here, then you go south and west a little bit, and you come to Thessalonica, and south and west, 50 more miles, and you come to Berea. And that's what we're looking at today. Is that they made those two moves from Philippi to Thessalonica. The Jews did not receive them well in Thessalonica. Did not have a good time in Thessalonica as far as the Jewish synagogue people. And they chased them. And so they were delivered. They got out of town at night and got on over to Berea, 50 miles south and west to Berea. And so this is where we pick up in verse 10. And want to read verse 10 and then verse 11, which is one of the heaviest scriptures in the Bible, in my view, for us in our walk with the Lord. And so it says in verse 10, and the brothers immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea from Thessalonica. They, you know, when the persecution started getting tough, the brothers said, man, you guys need to get out of town. And so that night they blew that taco stand. And they went, I like that expression. Do you like that one? You know, let's blow this taco stand. And so the brethren, and they at night, they sent them to Berea, who coming there, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now that was Paul's manner. That's the way he did. He would come to a town. They would first go into the Jewish synagogue and preach the gospel. And then they would go to the Gentiles after the Jews. The Jew first, then the Gentile. And so they did that. They went into the synagogue in Berea. And it says this, then, verse 11, wonderful verse in the Bible. These, that is the Jewish people in Berea, were more noble than the Jewish people in Thessalonica who chased Paul out of town, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched or examined the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And so the Jews then more noble in Berea than in Thessalonica, because they received the word and they were ready to hear it. And they searched the scriptures. They took their Torah, they took their Old Testament scriptures. That's all they had then. As Paul was preaching to them, Jesus from the Old Testament, he was very educated, sat at the foot of Gamaliel, who was the greatest teacher in Israel in those days, to learn the scriptures. So he knew the Old Testament like the back of his hand. And he found Jesus all in the Old Testament. And so that's what he's preaching from the Word. And so these Jewish people were noble in their hearts. And they grabbed their Bibles and they got in there every day saying, oh, this is what he's saying. Does that make sense? Do we see Jesus in Isaiah 53? Can we see him in Psalm 22? Can we really see Jesus there? And they were making these discoveries in the Word for themselves. And so the Bible calls them more noble. Now, we want to take this verse apart because this also then would apply to us, wouldn't it? The application for us today as Christians. We want to be noble Christians. We want to be more noble than maybe others. We want to be just right with the Lord. And so we also then can be blessed in the same way that these Jewish people were, that were more noble than those in Thessalonica. So let's first of all define the word noble. Now, noble is the Greek word eugenes here, and it means well-born. This is from the Greek dictionary, or high in rank. And of course, you can picture nobles, you know, well-born, high in rank. That's what it means. Now, Webster gives definition for noble, too, that I really loved, so I wrote it all down for us to enjoy. Having or showing high moral qualities or ideals. Greatness of character. And actually, one of the translations, the modern translation, says they were noble of character. And so Webster says, greatness of character, having excellent qualities, superior, grand, stately, splendid, magnificent. And so, wow, Lord, this is pretty neat. I'd like to be more superior, grand, stately, splendid, magnificent, wouldn't you? In the Lord and in things of God. And so this is what we look at. So they were more noble. They were all these things more noble because they received the word with readiness. Now, as we look at this Greek definition, well-born, we'd like to look at some scriptures that refer to the word of God in relating to newborns, newborn babies. And so let's take a look at 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Now, 1 Peter is on through the Bible towards the back, and we get to 1 Peter 2, 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. And it says this, 1 Peter 2, 2. I'll wait till the rustling stops. I do love the rustling. I've told you that before. Just get those rustling pages rustled over to 1 Peter 2, 2. 1 Peter 2, 2. It says, now as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. So the Lord wants to give us an example. He knows that we know babies. And for any of you that had experience with newborn babies and how much they desire milk, whoa. I mean, it's usually for a normal baby every 3 hours. And they don't stop in the middle of the night. There they are. Feed me, Seymour. I mean, they're ready. They want their food, don't they? At 3 in the morning and 6 in the morning. And that's the way it is. And I just remembered, I shared this with other two congregations, and I'll go ahead and share it now, even though Jimmy and Christy are here. But we we just love the twins. And we remember when the twins were first born, Christy needed some help, you know, and Jimmy too. He had to go to work in the morning, and Christy was, I mean, it was an exhausting experience. And so every once in a while, Sherry and I would spend the night with them to try to give them a little break during the night with the babies. And I'll never forget it. This one night, I'm sleeping gracefully on the couch, not gracefully, but peacefully on the couch. And Sherry's dangling the two babies somehow. She's and all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, I just see this baby coming at me, and I'm half awake and half asleep, and she's got one hand behind the baby's back. She says, take this baby. Boom. So I guess it was my turn, you know. So I get the bottle and feed that baby. But boy, those kids could drink milk, I'm telling you. And you all know what I'm talking about. And it's just the way it is. And the Lord wants to compare that to how much we need his word. Oh, we do. We do. So as newborn babies, just like newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. We need it to grow. Just like babies will shrivel up and die without their milk. That's why mamas are so attentive. And we really noticed that with Christy for sure. She's a very attentive mama. And she's there, you know, and she's waiting. And that's built in mothers. You know, mothers are just right there. And so the thing is important because they need to grow and not shrivel up. And we've seen the pictures of the poor Biafran babies and those in the Sudan at this time too. You know, their little cheeks are sucked in and their stomachs are bloated out because they don't have enough nourishment. And you know, this summer we're going to do a project to help with the poor folks in our land in the United States. And then of course we send our boxes to Haiti at Christmas time. Candy Turner is going to head that up. We'll have more information about that soon. But anyway, they need the milk to grow. And you know, it's the same in your Christian walk. If you don't open your heart to the Word and really get into a system with the Word, you won't grow in the Lord. I remember a good friend of mine, my best friend in high school, actually. He was Catholic, and he came to the Lord in a beautiful way. But he was a Catholic and grew up in the Catholic Church, and he remembered one of his relatives would always miss the same word in the particular prayer that they were quoting or the scripture they were quoting. That the same spots in the liturgies that they would do, his relative would miss the same things and say the word wrong every time, all through his whole life of standing in church next to him. And we were discussing that one day and just thinking how sad to just remain in one place, you know, all those years. And that can happen to folks that just kind of put the book on the shelf, you know, and just forget about it. And, well, I read it once and that was good enough, and that kind of thing. So we want to grow. Amen? Oh, we do want to grow. And you wouldn't be here if you didn't want to grow. You're very attentive. You're always so kind to me. You know, you're not an audience that fusses and fidgets and all those things. You know, I see you looking up here and you're listening to the Word of God being taught as we read the Scriptures together. It's wonderful because this is a growing process. We're all in. And so this is why the Lord gives this Scripture. Now, verse 3 says this, and I want to dwell on this for a minute. It says, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, there's a lie out there, a big lie from the enemy of our souls, that goes forth to all the non-believers and even to Christians, telling us that, well, if you're in the Bible too much, you're really going to get legalistic, you're going to become a sourpuss, you're going to become burdened down with rules and regulations in your life that are unbearable, these kinds of things. And of course, as we read the first part of the book of Acts, what we saw was the opposite, that Paul came against the legalism and went back to the grace of God. And so it says here that as we taste the Word of God, if so be that you've tasted, that the Lord is gracious. He's gracious. He's full of loving kindness. And we discover that as we're in the Word, and we get more and more released, and we get more and more peace. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. How? Through the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So the more I get to know the Lord from His Word, the more grace is going to be in my life, the more peace is going to be in my life. And the enemy wants to keep us from that and from that liberty. That's why James calls it the perfect law of liberty. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so we see and taste and see that the Lord is gracious. And so this is what this is speaking about, is tasting the Word of God, as newborn babes taste that milk. Now, this is enlarged upon in Psalm 19, and I want to enjoy these scriptures with you. Let's go to Psalm 19, verse 7. This is a song, and it's such a lovely song, and many of you know this song and have sung this song in years past, so we're going to sing it today. I was going to skip that last service, but somebody yelled out, "Let's sing it!" So we sang it, and I thought, I can't let you guys miss that exhortation we had from our brother in the third row last service. Okay, so let's read it, and then we're going to sing it. Now it says this in verse 7 of Psalm 19, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right." And what do? They rejoice the heart. Rejoicing the heart. Rejoicing the heart. They're full of grace. Full of grace. Remember that the Scripture says that Jesus Christ was anointed with the oil of gladness above His fellows. And the reason that's given in Psalm 45 that He was anointed with gladness above His fellows is because grace was on His lips. So as we taste and see that the Lord is gracious in the Bible, and we read the statutes of the Lord and the rightness of them, our hearts rejoice. We're anointed with the oil of gladness above our fellows. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean. And oh, praise God, we're taking communion today. and we're going to take the body and the blood of Christ, and we're going to be feeling again that experience of cleanliness through every cell in our bodies. The Lord's been speaking to my wife about communion, really blessing her with some ideas. And one of them is that when she takes communion, she senses and feels that the blood is going into every cell in her body and bringing that cleanness. It's beautiful. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And so we're tasting, we're seeing that the Lord is gracious. His commandments, his statutes, his ordinances are sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Now, nowadays we have some pretty fantastic desserts, you must admit. German chocolate cake, a la mode. Yes. Strawberry season is, I think, here, isn't it? You go to Marie Callender's. Oh, I heard that. I think we said that together. Chocolate covered strawberries. Yes. You know, it's kind of getting towards lunch, and you know, we're thinking along these lines. But all these things that we can consider. But in those days, they did not have these desserts. They had honey. That was the sweetest thing around. They hadn't got into refined sugar. God bless them. They were probably so healthy. But they had honey. But here they're letting us know the sweetest thing they know. The law of the Lord is sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. And so we taste and we see that the Lord is gracious with this sweetness. So now let's sing this. And if you don't know it, you'll catch on. Verses 7, 8, and 9 are verses. First, second, and third verse. Verse 10 is the chorus that you sing in between each verse. Now, this is the King James translation, so we'll be singing from the King James, and I'll just start singing, and let's sing this. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yet than much gold. Sweeter so than honey and the honeycomb. Hallelujah. Good to sing that again. Good to sing that. Well, I'd like to add then to the newborn idea, the well-born idea from the definition from the Greek eugenes, and like to say we really need to be a well-born newborn. A well-born newborn. And so we continue in the Word. If you continue in my Word, you're my disciples indeed, Jesus said. We had a really neat experience on Wednesday night. So blessed, beautiful time. We had the sinner's prayer, which we'll have today also. We had the sinner's prayer at the end of the service, and a young man was saved, gloriously saved on Wednesday night. And he went to the prayer room to get a Bible, and John Luke was in there. And John Luke was telling me afterwards at the Thursday night prayer meeting what happened. And this new young brother, he was a well-born newborn. he was standing there, and John Luke just said a very simple Christian truth to him that we all know and take for granted sometimes. And he said, oh, I never heard that before. Thank you, thank you. He started hugging him. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And then he started, stopped that. And then John Luke shared another simple truth from the Bible. He said, whoa, really? Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's just neat. You know, that born again experience is a well-born newborn. He got well-born to newborn. And we want to be well-born. We want to be noble, mature Christians too. Be excited about the Word of God. To just take in the Word of God. To enjoy the Word of God. And so let's go on and get a little more exhortation here about that as we go back to Acts chapter 17. Now, Acts 17:11, we'll read it again. It says this. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Now, first of all, this word received. There's a difference between hearing and receiving. And the difference is described by Jesus himself in the parable of the sower. From Mark chapter 4, verse 20, when Jesus is explaining what it means to have the seed of the word fall on good ground in my heart, he says this, the seed which are sown on good ground are such as hear the word, first we hear the word, and receive it. This is the King James translation, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. Now receiving the word, as opposed to just hearing the word, is simply a matter of about 18 inches. It's 18 inches from the brain and the hearing ears to the heart. To receive it down in my heart of hearts, underneath the floorboards of my life, to actually be planted there as the seed is planted in my heart and begins to grow. As Jesus spoke a parable and said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer that went out and sowed seed in his field. And he went to bed day and night, and he came out and the seed sprung up and grew. He knew not how. It just happens if we receive it and let it go down to the implantation. Let's just enlarge upon that a little bit. I'll quote to you actually James 1:21. It says that we should receive with humility or meekness the engrafted or the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But we must receive it. As many as received him gave he power to become the children of God. And so there's this implantation that takes place and must take place to transfer the word from the hearing to the receiving, and that's good ground. And that brings forth fruit, 30, 60, and 100 fold, the receiving. I just really thought of a cow when I was thinking about this, and that sounds funny, doesn't it? A cow. But did you know that cows have four stomachs? How many knew that? Oh, there's a lot of you that know that. That's good. Anyway, so what a cow does is he chews the cud, goes down to the first stomach, gets a little bit digested, and then he brings it back up. Now, for us, that's gross. For a cow, that's not gross. So it comes back up and he chews it some more and it goes to the second stomach. And thus it goes down and gets to full digestion. And that's the way it works. And when we read in the scriptures that we're to meditate on the Word of God day and night, that word meditate, a good example to use is that cow. That, you know, bringing the Word of God back up that we read in the morning, to chew on it, to think about it, that meditation, that's really receiving. And just a beautiful picture of receiving, to bring it back up and back up again and let it be truly implanted, not just in my thoughts, but all the way down to my heart, that it might be implemented in my life. And so that's the idea there, as these received the word with all readiness of mind. That's the next clause, and I want to talk to you about that a little bit. Readiness of mind. Now, another translation says they received it with great eagerness. They were eager beavers to receive the word with a readiness of mind. That is, their minds were ready. How do you get a ready mind? What is the definition of a ready mind? I'm so glad that Jesus took the time to tell us. So let's turn to John chapter 7, verse 17 on this. My mind is readied to receive the word. John chapter 7 and verse 17. John. John chapter 7 verse 17 says this, Jesus speaking, "If any man will do his will," that is the Lord's will, "he shall know of the doctrine," or of the teaching that's coming their way, "whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." So to understand those words from the Lord and know those things are coming from Jesus himself to you, you must be of a ready mind. And the ready mind is that your mind is saying in your mind, "I really want to know God's will, and I am prepared to do it." That is when you're ready. And you know, the Lord is so good to bring you to that spot. You know, we just can't crank this up. The Lord works with us on this. The scripture says that it's God that works within us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So he works the willingness out, and he has his ways. He brings us to that point when we're saying, "Lord, whatever you want. I've battled with this, I've struggled with this. I know that my will has been involved, but now, Lord, I truly want to know your will." And then, as the doctrine or the teaching comes, we're going to know it's Jesus. Because of our heart attitude, because of our mindset, that we're mindful and prepared in the mind, because we've got the big end going, neutral. "Lord, I'm in neutral. I just want to hear from you." And it's wonderful. And you know, it is neat that God brings us to that point. He does. Well, it happens with tears sometimes. We're just crying before the Lord saying, "Lord, I'm so sorry, and I really want to get it straight now." Or sometimes it just comes with joy. So, "Man, Lord, yeah." And we just have a fresh revelation, and it's God's grace. It's all God's grace. And we just go to him and ask for his help. And he's there and ready, because we have a readiness of mind. The brain is ticked around to that right combination that God has created in us to go ahead and receive. Now, a very simple example of not receiving is the elbow. We've been talking about the heart, but there's the elbow. Like if you're in church and the preacher's preaching and you come to a scripture that you think the person next to you should hear, the elbow starts. And right away, you're there to receive for them, not for you. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I can't do that. Do you remember that old joke? And maybe you've heard it before. The guy went to a big revival meeting on the first night. There's a big crowd there, and preacher's preaching, and the guy's thinking in his mind, "I sure hope they're hearing this." Second night he comes back, a little less people and stuff, but he says, "I'm sure hope these guys are hearing this." And all the way to the last night, when he's the only guy left, he's the only guy in church, and the preacher's preaching, he's going, "Man, if they were here, they should hear this now." Yeah. You know, instead of saying, "How about me?" You know. And it's so important for us to come to church, to open the Bible in the morning in such a way of saying, "Lord," just like Jesus said here, "if anyone will to do his will, to hear from him, then the doctrine and the teaching that's there is for us particularly and beautiful." That's what God wants for each one of us personally. He loves us. And so that's what the word is about, in going ahead and having that prepared mind. Now, one more thing then before we take communion. Let's go back to Acts 17, verse 11, and read it again and look at the last thing, which is so important. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind," with that great eagerness of mind, "and they searched or examined the scriptures yearly." No. "And they searched and they examined the scriptures daily," every single day. Can you imagine how loud the baby would be if they hadn't eaten for a whole day? The babies can really get loud. I think all of us that are parents know that. And you know, sometimes we get pretty loud when we've been away from the Word for a while.
I don't know why they did that. And those dummies over there, they're so dumb I can't even believe it.
And then we get into our fits of whatever, and some people are worse in their fits of whatever. Boy, you've got somebody with good lungs, watch out when they get into their fits of whatever. But the fits of whatever are just like with babies. The babies didn't eat, so they're screaming. So when we don't eat, we start screaming too at each other, at all kinds of circumstances and situations, start hitting walls and kicking coffee tables. I'm using examples from my own life here. Yeah, I really did. It wasn't good in my early 20s. I wasn't doing well along those lines. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Amen. And He can work on us, and we stay in the Word. We can, maintain that calm demeanor, begin to have the fruit of the Spirit, which is kindness and faithfulness, long-suffering, as the Bible puts it. I'm able to suffer longer. I mean, I'm suffering longer now because I'm filled with the Spirit, you know. Yeah, self-control, those kinds of things, love, joy, and peace. And so it is with that situation. And so the examining and the searching every day. Now, let's take a look at 2 Peter for the reason for this. 2 Peter 3, 1 and 2. Second Peter chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2. Peter says this in 2 Peter. Now, Peter wrote two letters. They're called epistles. I always remember that old Mickey Rooney movie where he said the epistles were the apostles' wives. Did you ever hear that one? I thought that was really cute, you know. Anyway, the epistles are letters. And so Peter says in his second letter, this second epistle or letter, beloved, I now write unto you in both, meaning in his first letter and in his second letter. Both these letters I've written to you, which I stir up your pure minds. Now, we just talked about the mind. We want a pure mind. But how are pure minds stirred up? How are pure minds kept? By way of remembrance, reinforcement. You cannot say with others, I read the Bible once, it was kind of good, but, you know, I'm not reading it anymore. No. We're to be in the Word every day. Why? Because our minds are bad. We're bent the wrong way. And so we need to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. What's the Bible have to say to me today? And Peter enlarges upon that, verse 2, that you might be mindful of the words which were spoken before of the holy prophets, Old Testament, and of the commandment of us the apostles, New Testament, of the Lord and Savior. And so Peter is letting us know that we need this. And it needs to happen every day in the Word. Now I'd like to, you know, just take some real life examples from my own experience. And I know all things are common to mankind, so I know this happens to you too. You wake up in the morning and you might be in that place between wake and sleep. But it's not long before you begin to think. Sometimes I wish it was just a button somewhere, you know. Just, I think I'm going to turn off my brain now. Because things start coming in. Worries, fears, lusts, different things that aren't of God will begin to, and of course the enemy's there. And, you know, I'm not prideful enough to think that the devil himself would have to handle me. But there's demons that are assigned to us. They come and they know your buttons, they know where to get you. It's horrible the way things can be perverted and changed in your mind, and your mind can play tricks on you, and your flesh gets involved with the enemy, and it can get bad. Now, if you go ahead and get up like that, you know, oh man, the rent's due in 3 minutes, and you know, somebody's gonna kill me out there. I heard on the news last night that even chicken can kill you. And the E. coli Micaluca is on the loose. And now it's in asparagus, yesterday in milk. You know, what's next? The black cow disease is roaming. And these different things. Are the birds coming? Watch out. Don't get any bird spit on you. We've got a couple of ducks that love our pool. Oh. And, you know, I heard the bird flu might get here, you know, by now or whatever. So I go to the pool to swim in the beautiful heated pool. And there's bird dew all over the bottom. And I think, oh, no. What happens if I get infected, you see, and then I get the bird fever, whatever it is we're scared of now. So I thought, well, I'll go in anyway in the pool because, you know, maybe they'll just stay down there on the bottom. It was so scary. After I finished my laps in the pool, they were all gone. They'd all blended into the pool. That's just one example of the stuff that can scare you right to death every single day. And if you're like me, you think about these things. You know, I don't know. See, you might not be as bad as me. But the thing is, we all struggle with that pure mind, the thoughts that come in. But see, the Bible tells us here that our pure minds can be stirred up through remembrance. And so though we've read the Bible 100 times, and go back and read some more in the morning and get that taken care of. I love it when the enemy comes against me in the morning and has all kinds of these ideas of what's going to happen to me next. And then I say, okay, I've heard this business from my flesh and from the enemy, whatever. Now I'm going to see what God has to say. And the hand goes over and grabs the Bible. I keep it right there, ready. And then I just open it and I begin to read. Had an experience this Friday morning with the Word. There's a really neat program you can get on. You can talk to Pastor Steve Jewell. He's the youth pastor right behind this wall. And he is doing a thing with the youth that I've tapped in on. And I know Pastor Greg Walsh has also tapped in on this. He's got this Bible that's called the Chronological Bible that you can read in a year. And what it's about is its topics, and as you're in 1 Samuel, the Lord, not the Lord, but the guy that wrote the Chronological Bible, brings in the Psalms that David wrote in that section of history in 2 Samuel. So the Bible is actually brought to you chronologically as the events happen. So if something relates to what's being said here from 1 Kings or from Chronicles, it's also in there. And then if there's a psalm that David wrote at that time, it's in there. If there's a proverb that relates to that, it's brought in there. And you can actually read the Bible in a year. Well, that's what I'm doing. I'm on this program, and it's so exciting. Well, Friday morning, I felt dry. You ever feel dry? Anybody ever feel dry? And, you know, it was a bad time to feel dry because it was my sermon day. You know, I'm thinking I'm going to write a sermon today, and I feel like a tumbleweed. Just, you know. So anyway, feeling those feelings, went for the book, and in there's the story of Israel attacking Moab. And as they're attacking, they ran out of water. They went all that way in the desert, and in the desert in the Middle East, you don't mess around with no water. The troops are out of water. They go, we've come all this way, and we got to fight these guys with no water. What are we going to do? And so there they were. And so they looked to the Lord. The Lord said to them, dig ditches. And so they dug a whole bunch of ditches, and it doesn't really say in the Bible there was any rain at all, but all of a sudden these ditches all got filled up with water, and there's this water. So they all drank freely and were refreshed. And of course, from that reading of the Word, just reading about the water, I think in my mind about the living water, I think about the in my mind about the gushes, the torrents of living water that'll flow out of my innermost being as I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. And the dryness is ministered to. God's speaking to my problem and taking care of me through His Word. And oh, to discover that and see that all the time. And you can always, in your meditation process, of just bring back what God said in the morning when you experience something in the day that's even a surprise. Okay, this is a surprise. I've gone numb, because it's just such a surprise. But Lord, what did you say to me this morning? Oh, there's lots of water. And I know where that comes from, the living water that comes like torrents out of my innermost being. as I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. And it just ministers to you and brings the grace. Oh, taste and see the graciousness of the Lord. Oh, be anointed with the oil of gladness above your fellows, because grace is on his lips, and to bring the water. But not only did he do that, and it was so neat in the story, I finished the story with you, that the water that was in the ditches, the enemy came over the hill, the Moabites, and they saw the water in the ditches and they thought it was blood, because the sun was just coming up, reflecting in such a way, they said, oh, they're all dead. We all killed each other. Yeah, let's go down and take the spoil. And they went down and the Israelis jumped on them and chased them out of town. And that was the end of the story. But you know, what a blessing to have that to take through the day as we face certain things. And God will do that. God loves to do that. Let's pray together and we'll take communion. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we do sense and we know, Lord, this is a very important instruction in the Bible. Lord, we do want to be noble characters. Lord, we want to be well-born, yes, in our born-again experience. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would help us with these things. And thank you for these hungry eyes that come to church to hear the word of God preached. And Lord, thank you for speaking to every one of us this day. And Father, Lord, we want to pray right now that if anyone's here that hasn't been born again yet, that this would be their sweet day, sweeter than honey day, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So this time we're going to have the congregation here say the sinner's prayer out loud, repeating after me. And the sinner's prayer is simply praying scripture back to God, because the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if we will confess the Lord Jesus as our Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved from our sin. And so we pray scripture back to the Lord, and he simply comes and answers and prepares us for communion to remember what he did on the cross in faith. For we are to examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith. And if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you have come to a correct examination to say, I am saved and I'm in the faith because I believe in Jesus. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and say the sinner's prayer, simply repeating scripture back up to God. And if you desire to open your heart, even for the first time today, to the Lord, you can just repeat this prayer with us, because the congregation will repeat after me. So let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I need your help. Thank you, Lord, that you are the Lord. And I believe and confess that you're the Lord. And I believe that God raised you from the dead. Thank you, Lord, that you've said that if I believe these things, that I would be saved. So come into me. Save me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you said that prayer and you meant it, you can take communion with us today. And feel free to do that. We're going to celebrate the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus shed and broken on the cross for us. So at this time, we'll have the men come forward and we'll take communion. Let's go ahead and pray for the bread before we pass the bread out. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this bread. And Lord, thank you that at the Last Supper, you took the bread and you blessed it. And so, Lord, we desire that same blessing here today. And thank you because you're alive, Lord. That blessing can be as rich and as blessed for this bread as it was for the first bread you broke for the disciples. Thank you that you're right here, Lord, gathered in our midst. Thank you, Lord. So bless the bread now, Father, In Jesus' name, amen. So wonderful thinking about that song, Hide Me in Your Holiness, that actually because of the body of Jesus Christ being given to us, lest you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no part with me, that actually we're hidden in his holiness because he is part of us. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing that he's done. So in the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body which is broken for you, and we're to do this in remembrance of him until he comes, in Jesus' name. Let's stand together to take the cup. Something that the Lord gave Sherry, and I think I mentioned this earlier in the sermon that she shared with the ladies on Thursday night as they took communion, that really blessed me. And I actually asked her if she would share it today, but she got real nervous about that. But I want to pass it on to you. It's just such a blessing, something that God really spoke to her about, is that we can picture, as we take the cup, that the blood of Christ is filling every cell of our body. I just love that thought, and it's very biblical because the scripture says in the book of Hebrews that actually God is able to save to the uttermost or completely, a different translation, those who call on God by the Lord Jesus. Through him, if we call on the Lord, we are saved completely. You can feel a completeness about this. So I just encourage you as you take the cup to just let it just tingle right on through every cell in your body, right down to the tip of your toes, knowing that you're clean before the Lord because of what Jesus did on that cross. And so we take the cup in faith in Jesus' name. We'd like to encourage you, if you accepted Christ for the first time today, to tell somebody. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven and his holy angels. Wonderful, wonderful truth of the word. The prayer room's open for you. There's Bibles in there. Pastor Greg from Harvest Crusade has sent us over 100 new believer Bibles. So if you're a new believer, even if you weren't saved this morning, but you've been saved recently and need a new believer's Bible, there's one in there for you. And we also have regular Bibles that are a New King James translation that you can also have. So may the Lord bless you and God just give you a great day in him, and hope to see you at the picnic. If you can make it over to the picnic, it'd be great. God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.